3, 2, 1.
Welcome back, y'all, to Anyone Can Run, which is the podcast all about cerebral cultivation, aka establishing our marathon mentality both on and off the race course. I am your host, True Bros, aka Gabe, aka the number one Star Wars gamer on YouTube, and I am an NCCA certified personal trainer, YouTuber, and sneakerhead who specializes in helping clients reach their health and fitness goals. This podcast covers everything new members of the running community need to know to dominate their first race, whether it's a 5K, full marathon, or anything in between. We also discuss how to establish our marathon mindsets, because our journey on the road to Gainesville is just one small part of who we are as individuals. Whenever I discuss the prospect of progressing on a health and fitness journey, I think of two things: hard data and how I'm feeling. I'm very big on not talking about pie-in-the-sky generalizations or how things should or could be. I'm all about being pragmatic. When it comes to hard data, as a psychomaniac pavement pounder, that means running for longer periods of time, further distances, or getting faster. Or for the weightlifter in me, that means either lifting heavier things or just doing more reps. How I'm feeling is really based off how I'm feeling during and a day or two after workouts. How am I feeling more tired? Do I feel strong and light? I mean, you get the idea. As always, when discussing the goal of a health and fitness journey, in my eyes, there isn't one set destination. Sure, I may have a race on the calendar that I'm training for or an event that I want to look extra good for, but those are all milestones along a never-ending journey. There is never an endpoint on our health and fitness journey. It's all about being better than we were yesterday. We've referenced this before, but there's a weight training principle known as progressive overload. This is a bit of an oversimplification of that concept, but essentially, it means gradually increasing weight or resistance over time. While we're not here to have a scientific conversation about training principles, because I, for one, would find that to be a snooze fest, I reference this time-honored philosophy, because whether you're familiar with it or not, it's a concept that's very easy to wrap our heads around. You lift a quart of water and a gallon is heavier, but you lift gallons all the time and that becomes easier, as does the quart. We all know we're able to increase strength and endurance over time. It's science, but it ain't rocket science. However, in my time training clients, I found many of them were focused on only increasing their physical capacity, meaning lifting heavier or running faster. Which I understand, because that's tangible and measurable, two of my favorite things. But I'd say focusing solely on the physical isn't looking at the big picture. As we've discussed in many of our past conversations, we never underestimate the power of language, especially as it relates to our internal dialogues. Because of this, I ask you a simple question. What does it mean to challenge ourselves? Now, I'm sitting in a closet, talking into a microphone, plugged into a laptop that I have propped on a suitcase, so I don't expect an answer. And I, for one, cannot stand whenever someone in a book or a show is like, Webster defines challenge as blah, 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 so we ain't doing that. To me, challenging ourselves is what the principle of progressive overload is all about. You don't jump into the deep end of the pool when you've never seen water before and you have no idea how to swim. You take your time and you ease yourself into it. You might hear all that and think, well, duh, and I get that. But to me, that line of thought isn't too far of a stretch from saying, well, I don't need to challenge myself, and so on and so forth. This is why we emphasize the significance of language as it relates to our internal dialogues all the time. Like we covered a few episodes ago, it's not a particularly large leap in logic for you to hear a challenge of some type posed to you. Let's say, I'm saying you need to run a half marathon in 6 months. And you could be dismissive and respond like, oh, obviously that's hard and I could do it, but I just don't want to, or I have no interest in that. While that may 100% be true, only you know for certain if you've the confidence in both your physical and mental abilities to actually undertake that challenge. Our goal is always to get you to a point where you can internally hear a challenge and think to yourself, well, if I really wanted to do this, I could start. You know, I want to help you cultivate your marathon mentality to develop three things: self-confidence, critical thinking, and self-awareness. We've already broken down the end result of establishing a marathon mindset. Or I guess rather, we've already broken down what comes with developing self-confidence, right? You'll at the very least consider a physical challenge that's presented to you. I say critical thinking simply for lack of a better term. But what I mean by that is the ability to break down a potential challenge mentally into each of its most important components. You can call that analytical skills, critical thinking, whatever you want. The goal is to have your mind fire up and get to work once you're presented with a challenge. But that's very difficult to do if you don't have self-awareness and confidence. If you aren't acutely aware of your physical potential, how your mind and body work in harmony when presented with a challenge, then you can't really even get to the point where you're analyzing a potential situation or a challenge. The way we develop these skills is through continually challenging ourselves. You don't learn about your physical and mental limits by going for one really hard run and that's it. If it was that simple, I'd suspect many people would be open to the concept of living a healthy and fit lifestyle. I've discussed this quite a bit, so apologies in advance for the repetition. But I say two things all the time. First, the greatest skill we as healthy and fit individuals can develop is learning how to listen to our bodies. And second, every human being who is physically capable needs to complete a full marathon at least once in their life. The reason I always harp on the latter, the marathon, is because a marathon training cycle is one of the best crash courses you can get. It was an enlightening experience for me, as it was for every client and friend and acquaintance I know who has ever tackled a race. A training cycle allows you to push yourself into unfamiliar territory, and you'll learn more about yourself mentally and physically than ever before. While it's easy to hear the words marathon training cycle and think of that strictly as a physical challenge, that's a mistake, bro. Our conversations here are always centered around cultivating a psychomaniac marathon mindset. So we're always seeking out both physical and mental challenges. It's a lot more, I'd say flashy to emphasize sports such as weightlifting or organized team sports. We've discussed this topic before. But the primary reason I began to explore distance running, which is categorized as any distance over 5 miles, is precisely because it's a fairly monotonous activity. Obviously, it's a physical challenge to run 5 miles if you've never done it before. That's no joke. But we can't forget we're also challenging ourselves mentally when we're staying focused on the same repetitive task for hours on end. And the deeper we get into that run, the more tired each of our muscles become, the more dehydrated we get. So we need to constantly sip water. You get the idea. There are a lot of factors that go into distance running. It isn't just the actual activity of pounding the pavement. The key is to challenge ourselves in both physical and mental ways. Because all too often, I feel as if these challenges or... I would say that a physical and mental challenge, right? These two distinct challenge types, they're typically categorized separate from one another. We go to school or work, and for the most part, we're challenging ourselves mentally, right? Obviously, there are exceptions to this depending upon your place of work, and of course, most schools have physical education class, but most of the time that we're there, we're challenging ourselves mentally. When it comes to physical challenges, right, we reserve that for the gym or the race course or whatever. But we can't separate these two types of challenges out. You'll likely know what works best for you. But I was always a procrastinator. So I threw myself in the deep end and signed up for my first marathon with only a few months' notice. Because I knew when it comes to challenges, at the time, I needed to make things as difficult as possible on myself. That self-awareness is imperative because who we are whenever we're not working out is still the same person we are whenever we're lifting things or going out for a run. As a lifelong procrastinator until I hit the age of 27, I would think that I thrived under pressure. And I would put things off because I didn't really need to put forth the effort. In reality, I would just put things off until the last minute because sure, I could, and I would still meet the assignment or what have you. However, in hindsight, I think that I was looking for a safety net or an excuse to fail. Think about it. When I was 20 years old and I had a paper due in 2 weeks, and I spent an hour or so each day working on it, right? And if I got a less than stellar grade, I could see myself internalize that as, oh, why do I even bother? Or, oh, my best isn't good enough, or something like that. Whereas if I spend 8 hours in one night and I got the same grade, like let's say I got a C or a B or something, I could see that eliciting a little shoulder shrug from 20-year-old troop bros, and him thinking, well, that's just what I get. Maybe that's a fear of failure. Maybe it's a fear of success or a fear that my best efforts just aren't good enough. I don't know what was going through my head at the time, or I'm not really curious, or honestly, I don't really even care what that 20-year-old was thinking because those days are behind me. But it's of the utmost importance to catch yourself falling into these mental traps. Don't get it twisted. I know that that is much easier said than done. But this is why I always use myself as an example and provide context on decisions I've made. Fairly certain I've relayed this, but it's much easier to recognize self-sabotage when you've got a clear example laid out in front of you and you're having honest conversations with yourself. If you find yourself putting things off to the last minute and your schedule isn't jam-packed, ask yourself why. And really think about when you're going for a walk or something like that, think about why you're doing that. We all need breaks, right? We can't just be go, 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 full throttle all the time because that's a recipe for burnout and injury. But to quote the Queen Brittany, if you want a hot body, if you want a Bugatti, you want a Maserati, you better work, B. I'm very big on never operating from a place of fear. And that's what I want for all of you. If we don't set ourselves up for success in all aspects of our lives, I can't imagine anyone else is going to do that on our behalf. I don't think we need to touch on these specific types of challenges one can partake in because every conversation we have is based on living a healthy and fit lifestyle. Especially with the physical aspect. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about working out, exercising, lifting heavy things, swinging on the monkey bars, banging out pull-ups, going for a run. All of those are forms of physical activity and could be viewed as a physical challenge. To challenge ourselves physically and mentally, to me, means two things. Increasing our workload capacity and occasionally pushing ourselves to our limits. We all know what that looks like from a physical standpoint, right? Being able to run faster, further, for longer periods of time. For lifting, that means lifting heavier weights for more reps. That's all pretty straightforward stuff when we're talking about increasing our capacity for work. But the concept of challenging ourselves mentally is the one that I feel like gets overlooked regularly. As Diamond Dallas Page says, repetition is the mother of learning. Forcing ourselves to focus and break challenges or problems down piece by piece into each component is not something that comes natural. It's a learned skill. The thing I've always found most fascinating about increasing our mental capacity for work, reaching our limits, and developing and refining those critical thinking or analytical skills. In my experience, it's difficult to know when you're in the process of improving them. And that's what I find really fascinating about it. I'm pretty sure I relayed the story of my first 7-mile run before, but to provide a brief synopsis, I was ill-prepared to say the least. I hit the dreaded quote-unquote runner's wall, which comes from not having adequate fuel in your system. And I just felt absolutely spent physically. Like I couldn't run even more, even though my muscles were fine and mentally I was right as rain. That's the perfect example of my reaching my physical limit. And while you may not identify with that exact sentiment, I'm sure you can recall reaching your physical limit in some way, shape, or form. Right? You're moving something out of the bedroom, it's super heavy for too long, and your arms give out, so you just got to set it down, right? Or you're walking so much at, I don't know, a theme park or something, and you just need to sit for a minute, right? Whatever it is, odds are you can recall a time you reached your physical limit. As we just mentioned, however, reaching your mental limit is much harder to articulate because it looks different for everyone. During my first marathon at mile 17, even though I was able to run slightly, not really well, and my muscles were tired, I wasn't done, right? I was just exhausted mentally. I was spent, and I'd reached a point where I didn't have the will to continue. So I broke down, and I made a pair of phone calls, which didn't pan out, and I had to decide if I was going to continue or not. I chose to power forward and the rest is history, right? We became the best YouTuber, the best podcaster, blah, 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 blah. But I vividly recall what that felt like, having my will broken and knowing deep down that I wanted to continue. So I was searching desperately for motivation, assistance, assurance, something to lift my spirits. We've touched on this before, but that moment of choosing to rely on myself, deciding I was going to finish no matter what, that is what I want for all of you. Not necessarily to push yourself when you've reached your breaking points like I have time and time again. We've discussed that before. And while that kind of drive tends to get praised and lionized, even if you're pushing yourself too far, I'm not a big fan of that. No. The goal isn't to get you to pull an all might and go beyond plus ultra 24/7. It's just to get you to help cultivate your marathon mentality, to get that self-confidence up and help get your mental strength and endurance on par with your physical. Even if it took you a moment to think about what it feels like to be mentally spent, we've all had days when we finally get home and we kick our shoes off and we don't want to do much of anything. For example, the wife likes to unwind by playing games or watching shows, YouTube videos, whatever, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Everyone has their own way of decompressing or relaxing. For me, jotting down ideas, live streaming, I know to many, those would seem like work. And even though they require me to be mentally quote-unquote, on, spending my free time on this stuff is absolutely relaxing to me. Still, There have been plenty of times where the day was chock full of calls, meetings, pretty much just active social engagement, which to me is absolutely the most draining thing you could have me do. At the end of a jam-packed day like that, I don't want to do much of anything except put on a video or a show I don't really want to pay attention to and zone out. I know for many people, that's just a common occurrence, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's not like I'm super special in how I choose to unwind. That's just how a workaholic operates. Quick sidebar, want to know if you're a workaholic? See if you spend your leisure time working, even if it's just on things you like. Besides, I know there's a big stigma or negative connotations with people who like to work, but I find that to be nothing more than an oversimplification of another's personality. To me, the only type of workaholic that's negative is those who toil away in the office, putting money in someone else's pocket for 12 hours a day when they're only getting paid for 8, but that's not super germane to the conversation we're having today. And really, I don't want to make it seem like I'm a hater because maybe those people need to do that, you know? So that's just a philosophy that isn't super relevant. Anyways, I bring up my personal way of unwinding because the wife knows when I'm spent and she sees me sitting in front of the television. That's how she knows. That's the telltale sign, man. That feeling of not being able to form a coherent thought, where the prospect of having to exert even the slightest bit of mental effort sounds about as terrible as running a marathon, that's the feeling of reaching your mental limit. This was something I never became cognizant of until I began working full-time and had to juggle the stresses of adulthood. And it was something I thought would remain the norm until I began laying the foundation of my marathon mindset. At various points in my first marathon training cycle, I'd find my mind more worn out than my body, which is saying quite a bit because I overtrained substantially and dealt with multiple minor injuries. Fairly certain we've covered this, but I distinctly remember trying to use music, the outfits of my fellow runners, whatever on-course entertainment was present. I remember distinctly using all that and more to help me push through my first race. In hindsight, I didn't realize at the time what I was trying to do was distract myself, as opposed to truly focusing on the task at hand and just really staying in my own head. This is why I always recommend a Run Disney race for someone's first on-course experience. Even if the entertainment has been dialed back in recent years, it still has substantially more than any of its competitors. And if you find yourself struggling like I did during my first race, I mean, that can be a leg up. To switch gears back, there's a big difference between distraction and focus. And I conflated those two as far as my running and race day endeavors were concerned for years. I always just thought, oh, this just sucks. You have to constantly chase mental distractions because it's so repetitive and boring. And it's like this for all people unless you absolutely love running. The greatest skill we can develop as healthy and fit people is to learn how to listen to our bodies. The best skill we can earn from engaging in distance running or long-term endurance exercises in general is the ability to focus. Running isn't just running when you're talking about those high mileage hitters. You've got to balance not overworking yourself too early with maintaining your goal pace. You've got to monitor how every part of your body is feeling. Keep track of your fuel and your hydration. Stay dialed in so you actually maintain running and, you know, don't trip or fall or bump into anyone or anything. That all might sound like quite a bit to the uninitiated, and it kind of is. However, you develop these skills while gradually increasing mileage as part of a race training cycle. I know not all of you are psychomaniac pavement pounders. I mean, I've even mentioned how it's one of my least favorite forms of exercise. When I first signed up for a race, I was cocky confident that I could complete a marathon, but I wasn't aware by putting myself in a situation I wasn't particularly interested in with a truncated time frame. By doing that, I was literally doing exactly what I needed to go all Linkin Park and start breaking the habit. I distinctly remember being very frustrated with my first race performances. Actually, my first few race performances. When I was going through the training cycle, I was dead set on just logging more miles, running more, going faster, further. Really, I was only thinking about challenging myself physically. My first few races, I remember running without music every race day because I wanted to focus on the course atmosphere and entertainment. When my performance didn't measure up to my own standards, once I crossed the finish line, I would just get more disappointed and frustrated and had nowhere really to direct those feelings of negativity. The entire time I was putting those races on my calendar, I was essentially ignoring the mental aspect of living a healthy and fit lifestyle. Like we discussed, it's easy to see why the mental component gets overlooked. It isn't tangible. It's not really measurable. And really, you think if your physical aspect is up to snuff, who cares what's going on in your head, right? While I can see how someone would reach that conclusion, it's seriously undervaluing the power of our own minds. Like I said, one of the primary reasons I wanted to start this podcast was because I feel like the mental health of athletes is something that gets overlooked all the time. When you're out there and you're going for an extended run, it doesn't matter if you're running through an amusement park or through the same neighborhood you've been running through for years. No one else is going to log one step of that distance for you. And the longer you avoid focusing or staying in your own head while you're actually running, in my opinion, that progress is inevitably going to plateau or be stunted. Truth be told, other than practicing Spanish on Duolingo or doing word games, I don't know what pushing ourselves mentally looks like for me. Actually, I have an idea. Sure, there's work and creative endeavors and all that, but isolating a task to something that's more mental than physical doesn't seem like the best use of our time if we're trying to actually increase our mental capacity. Or maybe capacity is not the best word, but I mean the duration of time that we are remaining dialed in and focused on one thing. This is why I emphasize the importance of distance running. Nearly anyone can do it. And once you actually begin going for a long run, really pay attention to what your mind is doing. Although the sample size is admittedly limited, whenever I'd work with a client who absolutely did not want to run, I'd have them still do some type of low-intensity steady-state cardio. So, going light on a cardio machine, going for a walk, a real light hike, something like that. And I'd have them do that for anywhere between 45 to 90 minutes on a day in between our sessions. When they were doing this, I told them to really try and block out everything going on around them. Focus on the movements, the music you're listening to, what signs your body is giving to you. Every single one of them, who had never ran before, would inevitably come back after that first or second session and say, you know, it wasn't difficult, but it was more mentally taxing than they anticipated. To me, that's like mentally banging out a superset of push-ups and pull-ups. I don't want to harp on the same topic because I feel as if this particular portion of our conversation is getting a little repetitive, so let's switch gears a little bit. To me, aspirations and challenges are two things we need continually and we need them both mentally and physically. We're always content, but never complacent, because the second we begin to rest on our laurels and cease putting forth effort is the second we stop being better than we were yesterday. Naturally, this doesn't mean every day needs to be a hotshot workout. It just means remaining cognizant of our goals. Even if you're dealing with a minor injury and you can't work out, you can still stay mentally focused on your goals, staying hydrated, getting enough sleep, you know, all that kind of good stuff that nobody ever wants to emphasize. To continue on the topic of aspirations and challenges, to me, both of these things or these concepts are essential to progress. How can we progress forward if we aren't working towards something, even if it's abstract? Every human being has passions, dreams, goals, things they want to achieve. In my eyes, we also need those in our health and fitness journey. The relationship between who we are both in and outside of the gym is symbiotic and should never be overlooked. But all too often, I've seen people get in the gym, go through the motions, and not really put forth sincere effort. Now, don't get it twisted. If you're in the gym doing something and you're being safe and you aren't getting in the way of others repeatedly, I ain't mad at you. More power to you. Do your thing. Put in the work. Continue to get healthy and strong. Still, I worked with people like this before. I got particularly choosy about the clients I took on. And those people who were putting forth minimal effort would only see marginal progress. Maybe their weight would yo-yo around a little bit. Or after our relationship ended, I could tell, our professional relationship ended, I could tell that they were going to become an eternal stop starter. I, for one, don't work with no aim. And because of that, we've always got to be working towards something. Maybe it's just a general goal, like maintaining a healthy weight and feeling strong and light. That's fine. It doesn't always need to be concrete goals centered around a specific date or target. Although, I will say, I believe those concrete goals to be tremendously beneficial when just beginning a health and fitness journey to help develop those healthy habits. In fact, let's circle back to something we covered a couple minutes ago. Aspirations and goals, right? To me, aspirations are dreams, and both of those are synonyms for one another. When I hear the word goals, my mind immediately goes to the concept of challenges. Heck, in my eyes, the only difference between aspiration and dreams is scale. Take, for example, my aspiration, right? What I aspire to. I want to increase representation for people who look like me in all forms of media, and not just people who look like me, all people of color. My dream is to open a multimedia production studio where I'm overseeing and producing multiple forms of content for young guns, right? Kids, and to have that people on camera and to have all those forms of content to be very representative of people of color, right? That's my dream. My aspiration is a smaller version of the dream, I think. But that dream requires substantial capital and resources I just don't have. So what am I going to do? Am I going to shrug my shoulders and say, oh, well, and just ignore those aspirations? Nah, bro. Y'all know that ain't this psychomaniac. I'm going to do something in my power to contribute to that aspiration in some way. So I removed the Lucha Bro mask. I got in front of the camera despite harboring a severe disdain for it. And I started our podcast here. I see that same difference, scale, between challenges and goals. Goals are an end result and come with a plethora of challenges to reach them. In fact, many of the people I speak with who create content, those who have much larger audiences than mine, and those with smaller, they tend to set goals around a certain number of views or average listeners or average viewers or what have you. I understand that sentiment. And believe me, if I had a couple hundred thousand subscribers on YouTube and I could up the production quality, I would absolutely make it my full-time job. And considering it would then be my full-time job, I completely understand why their goals are centered around, you know, other people consuming that content. But being full-time isn't really a goal of mine. To me, setting goals related to factors outside of our control is a recipe for disappointment. I vehemently believe the only place on planet Earth we as human beings should harbor expectations of other human beings is in the office or in school. Teachers expected me to complete assignments, and I expect them to give me the tools to be able to complete those to the best of my ability. I have a job, right? And I work with other people, and I'm responsible for my assigned tasks. They're responsible for theirs. But if they're trying to put their work off onto me, then we got a problem. It's that simple. Trying to move similar expectations on others when there isn't a social contract like there is in school or in the office, or there's no obligation or ramifications, right? Like, there's no ramification for some kid in New York to watch my videos. If they choose not to, that doesn't matter, right? Why should there be? But if I were to put my expectations on others, to me, that seems like setting oneself up for disappointment. And that's why, while it sure be nice if our numbers grew substantially, both here and on YouTube, I put no stock in that. That's not even in the front of my mind. But still, working on this content is something I enjoy. And like we were talking about challenging ourselves mentally, I enjoy the actual process of creation, right? So my goals are focused on things inside my control. I want to continue to release new conversations here bi-weekly and drop a pair of YouTube videos every week. And at times, that can be challenging. I know that may not seem particularly relevant to our topic of discussion today, but this is, like I said, I had an idea, and this is how I challenge myself mentally when I'm not actively working out. It's not always easy to sit and start composing a conversation here when I don't even have a topic of discussion. Many times, I find myself pacing around as I'm trying to outline episodes and struggling to go through the monotonous task of editing both copy and videos. But this is a challenge I set forth for myself. To force myself to think, to focus mentally on something that I enjoy doing. Just like I force myself to focus on something I find tolerable, like running. I set that release schedule, right? The two YouTube videos a week and the bi-weekly conversations here, because I wanted to challenge myself. And now, while the bulk of my time is spent working in some way, shape, or form, the discipline, which at one time was solely isolated to my health and fitness, has transitioned over to other aspects of my day-to-day. I don't know if this is the same for every human being, but I'm gonna tell you right now, even though I'm not a procrastinator anymore, I'm still lazy. Despite being a self-proclaimed workaholic, I'd rather just work on things I find engaging than cleaning the house, mowing the lawn, maintaining my professional responsibilities. Yeah. All those recommendations that people will give you. Oh, just do what you love. You'll never work a day in your life. Well, I assume that that's well-intentioned, right? That ignores the practical reality of an individual's circumstance. I need to work a full-time job to provide for my family. But even then, I'd rather finish all my work real quick and then sit and do nothing. And I would imagine that that's a common sentiment for a lot of people. To help mitigate that inherent laziness that I know I have, I need to continually challenge myself. And I would imagine it's the same for you. People who say you can't develop work ethic, you can't teach that. No, you absolutely can. You can't teach it to someone else. They have to want it. They have to work for it. And that's what I want for all of you. Even though I have no problem engaging in some form of physical activity 4 to 5 times a week, even if my shoulder's bugging me, I'd still rather order burgers. Speaking of, y'all need to hit up Mr. Beast and tell Mr. Beast Burger to sponsor me. I'd still rather order burgers and wings every night than eat healthy. You feel me? To work around this, because that's a predilection. And yeah, you can call that laziness, and I think it is certainly a part of it, but I still would rather eat burgers and pizza every day over the quinoa and the vegetables I'm having. But to try to work around that personality quirk or predilection, whatever you want to call it, I set various challenges and goals to help gamify or distract me from what needs to be done while focusing on the things I enjoy or the things I want to accomplish. Challenges and goals are an integral component of the marathon mentality, and they are imperative to progress. If we want to continue to improve in some fashion, we need to continue to challenge ourselves both mentally and physically. The whole is greater than the sum of our parts when it comes to our health and fitness journey. And it's important we never try to compartmentalize these two aspects of who we are. Continually set goals and challenge yourself in all aspects of your life. And baby, I guarantee you will progress on the road to Gainesville. I appreciate you spending some time with me today, and I hope you're seeing what I see, that truly anyone can run. We try to drop new episodes every other workout Wednesday, so make sure you smash that subscribe button. If you've ever got questions or ideas for a topic you'd like covered in a future episode, or any suggestions on how yours truly can just rake in the dough, feel free to hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at anyonecanrunpod or at truebros. If you need more gains, do me a solid and pound that subscribe button on YouTube, as I'm typically dropping 2 videos a week on Mondays and Thursdays. It also helps when you leave a quick rating and review in your podcast app of choice to help us dominate the charts. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Anyone Can Run podcast. And if you did, don't forget to pound that subscribe button. If you didn't enjoy it, well, you get what you pay for. And regardless, I look forward to seeing you on the road to Gainesville.